Hey friends, I want to thank you very much for tuning in to the SGT Report podcast. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. So stocks are at all-time highs, the housing market is on fire, interest rates are at zero, and this government just printed another $5 trillion. What could possibly go wrong? Meanwhile, consumer confidence hit a 10-year low, and inflation hit 6.8% officially, with many informed analysts saying it's much closer to 9%. So something's not adding up, is it? What can you do? You can play it safe. Putting some of your assets into precious metals will keep your money away from the volatility of markets and inflation and let you sleep at night. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free 1/10 ounce solid gold American Eagle coin with any qualifying plan you start. So talk to an expert at Noble Gold and they'll run you through the options to keep your money safe. No pressure, no hassling, no call centers, just a chance to speak to someone who knows what they're talking about. How refreshing would that be? You can start by calling 877-646-5347 or visit their website at noblegoldinvestments.com.
When I said again and had, you know, why was I in that ventilator? The young nurse said, because you have COVID. And I said, even if that's true, a ventilator is late stage COVID treatment. Does it look like I'm having a problem breathing here? No answer.
Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. Thank you so very much for tuning in. That was Ben Gordon, and Ben has quite a story to tell, and it makes one wonder, how many other people has this happened to in these corrupt hospitals? One quick note, my mic wasn't working for this call, so my audio doesn't sound that great, but this story must be told nonetheless. Thanks for tuning in. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Crypto is a very fast way to build wealth. That's why Colin Plume, the CEO of Noble Gold, created MyDigitalMoney.com. It's the cryptocurrency platform that offers the best US-based phone support service. With MyDigitalMoney.com, you'll get a real live human being to answer your call. Don't understand how crypto IRAs work? You need help on how to sell your cryptos? Are you worried about the controversy over a crypto you already invested in? Call MyDigitalMoney.com. And here's a special treat. If you're unsure whether crypto investing is for you, open a Play Money account with MyDigitalMoney.com and try trading without any risk. So go to MyDigitalMoney.com right now and start building your wealth. Hey friends, thank you so much for tuning in. It's fantastic to have you back. It's Sean from SGT Report here, and we're going to cover a story that I know has been covered by the likes of Stu Peters, Jane Ruby, and others. It's a very, very important human interest story because it features a man who found himself in a hospital on a ventilator after a car accident because COVID. And we're talking about Flagstaff Medical Center in Arizona. All right, what you're seeing in front of you here is some information about the CARES Act. The CARES Act provides bonuses to hospitals whenever people have a diagnosis of COVID. The Center of Medicare and Medicaid Services is waiving patients' bills of rights. It's a deadly combination, and greedy hospitals are certainly taking advantage of it and of people, in my opinion. I want to welcome to the broadcast Benjamin Gordon. He was in a car accident on Sunday, January 30th, around noon in Rimrock, Arizona. Ben, you're looking better. It looks like you're healing.
I am. I've avoided the mirror, and the only time I've seen my face in the last few days is when I do these.
Well, tell people first, introduce yourself, tell us a little bit about yourself, and then tell us exactly what happened on Sunday, January 30th. What do you do for a living? And then tell us what happened on Sunday, January 30th.
Sure. I would characterize myself as, somewhat nomadic. I do seasonal jobs. I am a music producer, singer, songwriter. I've lived all over. I'll go to where it's nice in the summer up north and then go to either Arizona or Florida to do work when it's cold up north. So I'll launch right into the day in question here. So I got into a car accident just around noon in Rimrock, Arizona. I had every intention of ordering a burger and fries at this place, and I started feeling really, really, really weird. And so I was like, just get yourself home. And I was about a half hour or a half mile only from my place. So I never made it home. the next thing that I knew, I was sitting in my car. It was on all four wheels, but all the glass was blown out. And I was kind of checking my body, moving around, making sure that there was nothing like really crazy serious going on in the inside. I had no pain on the inside. I was aware of my surroundings. I knew where I was. And the very first interaction I had was with an EMT. In other words, so no law enforcement. I believe the protocol anyway would be, they probably arrived around the same time, because actually the Copper Canyon Fire is who responded. And they're like 7 minutes away. And the police, there's not a police department proper in Rimrock. I see state troopers here and there, and it would have been the Yavapai County Sheriff, which is a ways away. Anyhow, the first and only interaction I had was with an EMT who was holding sort of one of those hard formed zip container things. And he was walking towards me and unzipping that thing. And I was like, what is coming out of there? And I saw a syringe and I was like, no, hey, like, no. He's like, just going to calm me down, boss. And he got to me, it went in my arm, and it went completely black.
So you were completely conscious at the moment that this man, this EMT or fire department respondent, approached you and injected you against your will.
He sure did. And now, I have heard like, you know, searching around and around and around and around that there are times when you would sedate a person if you are unaware of the injuries and you don't want them to move. Like, if, I mean, there was a chance, maybe according to them at that time, that I had internal injuries, but I believe I said I'm fine, you know. But of course, I'm sure people have said that before and were not fine. I think they had some standard of protocol. I've just read about this a little bit. But I don't think it's ever okay to inject somebody personally that is protesting.
You know what I should have done? I should have invited my friend Eric, the fire medic, on. We'll jump to the chase here. So you wake up, what period of time after this? So you blacked out and you wake up where? In the hospital?
Well, I would find out later. And here's the only confirmation on the time that this happened, comes from the hospital social worker herself, who told my sister that I extubated myself at 6:50 p.m. So from time of crash to the time that I came to is about 7 hours.
Right. So explain to people what that means. What did you do at 6:50 p.m.?
I woke up and had a surge of energy and the semblance of light coming from inside of me. It was just this burst of, it's almost like when you get really excited about good news, like you hear something really good and you feel it come from the inside out and just burst. I just kind of had that kind of energy, and I immediately started pulling this thing out, and it was terrifyingly long. I was like, okay. And after I got it all the way out of my mouth, I kind of grabbed it and turned my head to the left, and there was a clear ventilation machine. And not only that, I could feel on the tube a subtle vibration to it that was timed. So from there, I went to my left arm where the IV was, and I slowly pulled that out and, you know, pulled the tape off, pulled that out. And then the catheter was the last thing. And I pulled that out really, really slowly, and it hurt so bad. And as soon as it came all the way out, I was bleeding. Almost, I wouldn't say bleeding to the level of your average urine stream, but it was pretty messy. So I grabbed a sheet off the bed, and I covered myself, and I'm looking around, and I look down at the sheet, and it's like already coming through. So I found on the floor, my black pant shorts, which had been cut, and I put that over the sheet. So now I had two layers. I immediately walked to the door, the only door, and opened it up. And I looked to my left, and there's a desk, and there's four people around it, and they all turned and looked at me, and I said, why the hell am I on a ventilator? And they're just looking at each other, and a couple of them started moving towards me. And then they all kind of moved towards me, and I kind of backed up and stood in the doorway, like, why am I on a ventilator? What is that for? And they said, you know, you should go into your room. And I'm like, I'm not laying back down there, you know, like, and I backed up a little bit. Nobody or none of the people there, I didn't feel afraid of it. There was no like sort of daunting presence. I felt like I had control. So I walked sort of to a little bit further into the room. I never got more than about 6-7 feet back into the room. And I kept front forward towards the door in case I had to, like, someone was going to come at me with a needle again, which is what I was thinking in my mind. And so at that point, there was sort of a semicircle around me. There were two young gentlemen. They both look about the same age. They seem like orderlies, or I don't know what they call them, like just like security, but they didn't really have like any sort of macho energy to them. And they look smaller than me. And then there was a younger nurse who did all of the talking until the very end. And then there was like a bigger lady that looked older, and she was kind of standing to my right. So I continue with my line of questioning. Why am I on a ventilator? And I'm pointing right to it. At no point did any staff say, you weren't vented. You know, they didn't say that's not a ventilator. They didn't say, here's what we had to do. Settle down. Calm down. Here are the, you know, nobody was had any sort of demeanor of calming, or, you know, they didn't seem to have any history of dealing with a situation like that. When I said again and had, you know, why was I in that ventilator? The young nurse said, because you have COVID. And I said, well, even if that's true, a ventilator is late stage COVID treatment. Does it look like I'm having a problem breathing here? No answer. They answered no questions. They answered two questions. I got a reply to what drugs were coming through that IV, to which they replied, the young nurse again, only one talking, propofol, fentanyl, and morphine. Now, I don't know if those were all fed into me at the exact same time. I won't know, you know, until I get the hospital record, which we don't know what they're going to decide to put on that thing. And I made some quip about propofol. Oh, great. That's what killed Michael Jackson, you know. And the demeanor of the young nurse was of just supreme irritation. Like, ugh, you have COVID. And so I was asking for a lawyer peppered in there as well. Nobody said, yes, you can have a call. You know, they didn't bring me a phone or anything. This went on for, my guess is probably about 45 minutes as I was standing my ground, and it was clear I wasn't going to get any paperwork. I'm like, do you have my paperwork? They never referred to me by name. You know, in a kind of talk down situation, a few things that might go a long way for a staff at a hospital. Number one, say the person's name as sort of like, you know what I mean? That there's a connection there. They know your name. That's huge. It seems so elementary, but they never said my name. And another thing that they could have mentioned that I did not learn until like yesterday or the day before, they're all running together. They could have said, as I learned later, that they had been in contact with my brother, Josh. If their timeline is correct of when I removed the tube, 6:50 p.m., they had reached him somewhere about an hour earlier. So you would think to calm and de-escalate the situation, A, they would have said my name at least once or twice, Ben, we've talked to your brother, Josh. They never mentioned anything. They never said anything about having recently talked to my family, nor did they say my name.
This is a perfect time for a break, friends, and a quick message from our sponsor. So stocks are at all-time highs. The housing market is on fire. Interest rates are at zero. And this government just printed another $5 trillion. What could possibly go wrong? Meanwhile, consumer confidence hit a 10-year low, and inflation hit 6.8% officially, with many informed analysts saying it's much closer to 9%. So something's not adding up, is it? What can you do? You can play it safe. Putting some of your assets into precious metals will keep your money away from the volatility of markets and inflation and let you sleep at night. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free 1/10 ounce solid gold American Eagle coin with any qualifying plan you start. So talk to an expert at Noble Gold, and they'll run you through the options to keep your money safe. No pressure, no hassling, no call centers, just a chance to speak to someone who knows what they're talking about. How refreshing would that be? You can start by calling 877-646-5347 or visit their website at noblegoldinvestments.com.
Well, Ben, let me ask you a question here, because I did listen to your interview with Stu Peters, and it's my understanding that the hospital, at least as far as you know, had you labeled as John Doe. Is that true?
Yeah, I still have these things sitting next to my...
Well, see, that's very alarming. If they labeled you as John Doe, but they actually knew your real name, how do you explain that?
As much as me and my family aren't getting along about all this, my sister, who was contacted later, and I believed for the last several days was the only contact after I left, she said, I have no idea. So she's on the same page. That's a mystery to her as well, because I am tagged Meadow, and date of birth given is 01/01/1922. Now,
what does Meadow mean?
That just might be the way they code their John Does there. I mean, maybe hospitals have fun with it and they do it their own way.
Well, let me just say, this reminds me of a horror movie called The Matrix, where Neo wakes up in his little alien egg and has to pull the breathing apparatus out of his throat. This is insane. This is absolutely insane. And I think it's the CARES Act that has corrupted hospitals and people in these hospitals, because all they see is dollar signs. Now, I'm going to reach out to Flagstaff Medical Center, and if I get a response from them or from anyone there, I will insert that into this interview. I will insert it right here, in fact.
Hey, friends, just a quick note. Ben was right. I called the hospital, and they rolled me to a voicemail. I've not heard back from anyone yet.
But assuming that nobody will talk to me, I guess we just have to speculate as to the nature of what's going on a daily basis at Flagstaff Medical Center. But on January 30th, some pretty nefarious things allegedly took place.
Yeah, so I wanted to kind of throw out there that Brian Young from High Impact Flicks had said before we went live that it was his understanding that in order to get the $39,000 for vent, it's a minimum of 3 days. So if you take the spectrum all the way from the most diabolical, like they were going to kill me, they were going to tell my family as time went on that the COVID was getting worse, and they went for the full deal and then the organ harvesting, that's on one end.
Well, I want to say something. Let me just say, you nailed it right there. In addition to the dollar signs they see because of the CARES Act, the organs are worth tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of dollars to these hospitals.
Absolutely. Oh, I think it's actually it could be in the millions. But so there's this spectrum of what we just talked about. And then there's also this possibility on this end that what if they were going to just keep me on that for the 3 days to just get the 39,000 and just say, you know, his COVID got bad and maybe they let me off eventually. I will never know. But what I do know is that a person at this point, the hospital knows I am uninjured. They know I have no internal injuries. They know that I do not have any brain trauma. A broken nose is all they said. And I do not believe I have a broken nose. But I remained on that ventilator and being fed sedatives for a full 7 hours. There's absolutely no reason for me to have been connected to a breathing machine in the first place.
Well, and the reason you were on propofol and fentanyl and morphine, allegedly, is to keep you knocked out. That's the only reason you would be on those. I can't even call them medications, but they wanted to keep you knocked out. And by some miracle, and it might have been a miracle, that burst of light and energy you felt from within, that may have been your guardian angel or God himself helping you, Ben, because imagine if they would have kept you knocked out for 3 days. You're right. Your fate was in their hands entirely. And these don't sound like honorable people to me.
They seemed, if I could sum up the demeanor of all four people into a couple descriptives, they seemed dim. They seemed like they were kind of stammering. They seemed juvenile. The look on the actual doctor's face, she looked like a child to me. Like she had a mask on, but her eyes were kind of like,
well, let me ask you that. That's one of my notes here. What is the name of the physician on duty? Did you get her name?
No, that will be in the records.
All right. So you're waiting for the medical records. When do you think you'll get them?
Well, they were delivered on Saturday, but records is closed on Saturday. So I have to call them Monday because, I may have to pay per page because I want paper so that they don't disappear online. So I'm going to call in and have my credit card ready and be like, hey, this was sent certified. You guys indeed received it. Do I owe you for the pages? And how long is it going to take you to get this to me? So I will learn the names, hopefully, of the doctors. There was one doctor involved this whole ordeal. And her, like I said, her demeanor was really weird.
Well, Ben, all I can say at this point is I'm glad you survived. Obviously, the hospital does have a vested interest in all of these procedures. They make money from all of these procedures. And the organ harvesting is something that deeply, deeply troubles me. So we are in the realm of speculation as to what their intent was. But it seems clear to me that if you had no internal injuries and no external injuries, no broken bones, the protocol that they rolled out was extremely inappropriate at best and perhaps malpractice at worst. And I have two attorney friends, Tom Callender and Tom Renz. I'd be willing to get you in touch with either or both of those men because
please,
you may need representation here, Ben. You may need to sue these people.
Sean, if you could do that on my behalf, I did just send through Tom Renz's site a request. But his name, and I'm familiar with him. I mean, his name is going to come up. I definitely need help. If you just go to Garden Variety, White Bread, Medical Industrial Complex, web pages like WebMD, Mayo Clinic, what have you, they all state very clearly when a ventilator is needed. And it always says when a patient can't breathe on their own. Now, if their justification is that I cannot breathe on my own because they loaded me up with a cocktail of drugs, well, then they were trying to create a condition under which I would need this incredibly invasive medical intervention.
Well, as we're having this discussion, it occurs to me that what I should have done is not only gotten Fire Medic on with us, I should have invited Tom Callender or Renz to join us, and we could have really flushed this thing out from a legal standpoint. But we will do that. I will get you in touch with those gentlemen. And Ben, I wish you the very, very best. I'm glad you survived. I mean, from the bottom of my heart, I really do think maybe a miracle occurred here. So we'll see what Flagstaff Medical Center has to say for themselves, whether they talk to me or not. They may have to talk to your attorney very soon.
What you're going to get if you call them, Sean, is they're going to transfer you to the hospital relations, at which point you will leave a message.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds about right. We live in an environment now in this country where the hospitals have become internment camps, where parents cannot visit their children, where the sons and daughters of elderly people are not allowed to see their loved ones because COVID. And these people are dying alone. And often I think they're being made to die alone.
And Sean, like what I went through is nothing compared to what you just described. Can you imagine not being able to say goodbye to someone that you've loved your whole life?
Well, it's absolutely pits of hell stuff, Ben. And you can thank the CARES Act and you can thank the powers that ought not be for all of this absolute nonsense. And we're going to bring these people to justice one way or the other. We will get justice because we have truth on our side. And I want to thank you for your testimony here today. Our guest has been Benjamin Gordon. We're going to keep our eye on the story. I'll get you hooked up with the attorneys. And in the meantime, keep in touch, Ben.
Sounds good, Sean. Thank you.
Thank you. And friends, I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in.
A special thanks to our subscribe stars and our members at sgtreport.tv, where we have a server beyond the reach of Big Brother. I want to thank all of you from the bottom of my heart and remind you, for real news 24/7, you can visit us directly at sgtreport.com. That's the antidote to corporate propaganda and Mockingbird mainstream media lies. God bless you and your family, friends. Bye-bye.
We think that a lot of the stories you might be hearing about the mark of the beast is going to be this tattoo that goes on from this Microsoft micro needle. We think that might be a bit of a distraction to make people believe that it's not quite happening yet, because it's already happening. It's in this vaccine.